My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Starbucks to Apple, it's a big week for earnings.
There's a lot of questions that analysts will have about, for example, what's going on with the Delta variant.
Plus, a check-in on the state of the global economy as nations grapple with COVID-19. And a look at the Tokyo Olympics medal count. It's Monday, July 26th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Before we get to the rest of the headlines, a quick note, we're keeping watch on Bitcoin. We saw it jump to a six-week high today, with some investors attributing the rally to short positions being liquidated and speculation that Amazon may be venturing into digital currencies. It was up more than 20% since Friday afternoon, according to CoinDesk. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. The United States has stepped up airstrikes in southern Afghanistan amid growing apprehension over a Taliban offensive threatening Kandahar. The airstrikes, about a dozen in recent days, point to a continuing role for the U.S. military in Afghanistan. It also comes as a United Nations report said more women and children were killed and wounded in Afghanistan in the first half of 2021 than in the first 6 months of any year since the UN began systematically keeping count in 2009. On Sunday, the top U.S. military commander in charge of the Middle East and Afghanistan met with the Afghan president and his top security officials to discuss defense plans and to reassure them of U.S. support. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has named Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from Illinois and a critic of former President Donald Trump, to serve on a select committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Kinzinger joins Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming as the only Republicans on the committee. Two other Republicans close to Trump were rejected last week. House GOP leadership has opposed the formation of the committee, calling it a political exercise and pointing to continuing law enforcement probes as adequate. COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations in Florida now account for one in five new infections in the U.S., according to the CDC. In some areas, hospitalizations are rising at the fastest rate since the start of the pandemic. Experts say large unvaccinated populations, a relaxation of mask wearing and social distancing, and the highly contagious Delta variant are some of the factors driving the surge. And at the Tokyo Olympics, swimmer Katie Ledecky took silver in the women's 400-meter freestyle in one of the most hotly anticipated races of the Olympic swim meet. The U.S. men won gold in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. Japanese teenager Momiji Nishiya picked up the first-ever gold medal for women's street skateboarding at age 13. And Simone Biles and the U.S. women's gymnastics team have qualified for the team final scheduled for Tuesday. Tesla, McDonald's, Starbucks, Ford, and Exxon are among the names you'll recognize as we enter a busy week of quarterly results. In fact, more than a third of the S&P 500 are expected to provide quarterly updates in the coming week. Joining me from Hong Kong is markets editor Quinton Webb. Quinton, welcome.
Hi there, Mark.
Quinton, let's first talk about tech and innovation. We have Tesla today, Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet on Tuesday. These are companies that have been doing well.
That's right. You know, there's a variety of things going on here. I mean, the work from home trend was very good for some of these companies. It kind of sped up digital adoption. Some of them are also benefiting actually from the reopening of the economy. So if you're largely dependent on advertising revenue, as someone like Alphabet is, for example, then it's good as businesses start to advertise more on your platforms. Tesla, for example, has said that demand is better than it's ever been. Analysts forecast that Microsoft is going to have a record quarter when it comes to earnings. So yeah, things are looking pretty good.
Quinton, these results are important, but when corporate leaders hold their earnings calls, What else will investors want to know?
Well, I think as ever, you know, markets are always trying to anticipate what's now and what's in the future. And so although it's going to be a very strong second quarter, certainly compared to a very weak year ago period, you know, there's a lot of questions that analysts will have about, for example, what's going on with the Delta variant. You know, to what extent are there likely to be kind of new restrictions and will they kind of impact business results? And, you know, we've talked a lot too about various bottlenecks, supply chain difficulties, inflation in certain kinds of prices. To what extent are those glitches still in the system, or are companies able to move past them?
And of course, you can get updates on earnings throughout the week on WSJ.com and the Journal app. Quentin Webb, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Just ahead, what new data could soon tell us about the economic picture in America and the rest of the world after the break.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This week, we'll get a chance to check in on how the world's economy is doing as the recovery from the pandemic moves forward. New data and surveys looking at the U.S., European, and Asian economies will give us a clearer picture of where things are headed. But what about the effect of the Delta variant of COVID-19 on communities across America and around the world? The WSJ's Paul Hannon covers economics and joins us now from London. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
All right, so Paul, big picture, what are we expecting to see when it comes to the global economy?
Well, what we're going to see over the next few weeks is confirmation that the global recovery is pretty strong at the moment. We'll see figures in the coming week from the US that will show an economy that's growing at a pretty rapid pace. And elsewhere, you know, Europe, for example, is doing pretty well, not as well as the US. Those are sort of backward-looking numbers. They fit with the period running into June. What we're getting now are sort of more up-to-date surveys. And what they show is a slight shift in the balance. So, you know, the US, you know, was very, very strong in the second quarter. And Europe is going to be the stronger economy in the third quarter. But it has a lot of distance to catch up on in terms of the recovery.
Let's break this apart even further and focus on the U.S. What specifically is happening in the States to help drive growth around the world?
I mean, the remarkable thing about the U.S. recovery, I mean, if you compare it to anything, you know, in the past, is the strength of the rebound in consumer spending. You know, normally in recessions, that there's a long period when consumers are pretty wary of spending. They're pretty pessimistic about the future. You know, they don't know what's coming next. This time around, you know, you're seeing signs of much stronger confidence about, you know, what's coming up in the next few years. And as a consequence, you know, Americans are quite happy to spend pretty freely where they can.
What about in Europe? Is it a similar picture or are there some differences?
It's broadly similar at this stage, although, you know, Europe had another period of lockdown at the turn of the year that sort of held it back by about 3 months compared to the US, maybe a little bit more, in fact. So it's really just getting going. I mean, the kind of spurt that we saw the US enjoy in the second quarter is likely to happen for Europe in the third, you know, as things reopen. And it's also going into a crucial period for a lot of European economies, you know, when people take their summer vacations. And that will deliver quite a big boost to European growth.
Then we have this other variable, that being the Delta variant, that is spreading quickly in a lot of countries. Paul, any indications as to how that could shape where the economy goes from here?
There are. You know, this has been around for a few months, as you'll appreciate. But really, it's only now beginning to take a toll, or at least the scale of the toll is beginning to be manifest. So it sort of depends on whether you have a vaccinated or an unvaccinated population. So, you know, Delta, you know, spread very widely through the relatively unvaccinated population in India. And the impact there was pretty devastating, not just in terms of human life, but economic activity. It's then spread very widely through the UK. But in the UK, vaccination had advanced much more. So the impact on health and the impact on the economy has been less, but it's still showing up. Figures were sort of indicating that the economy had slowed in July, for example. But I think the clearest example, you know, of what Delta can do if you don't have an extensive vaccination program is Australia, New South Wales, where Sydney, the largest city, is located, is back in lockdown, and that looks to have pushed the Australian economy probably back into contraction in the third quarter. So, you know, it depends on, you know, how protected the population is when this variant gets loose.
And finally, Paul, just looking ahead from your conversations, is the Delta variant the biggest worry among economists, or are there other factors that are raising concerns?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely the leading concern. I mean, there are other things that may concern people. I mean, inflation is still quite a worry. But in fact, Delta sort of makes that more of a worry. And the reason is this, that, you know, Delta is spreading pretty quickly in parts of Asia where they make things, in the manufacturing heartland of Asia, places like Vietnam, for example. And that means that there's a possibility that supply from those countries will be interrupted. And we already have an excess of demand compared to supply for a lot of things, which is why you're seeing these price rises. So that could actually make this a little bit worse. You know, whether it will make it so much worse that, you know, the Federal Reserve will have to rethink its ideas about, you know, how far and how long inflation is going to rise for, I think it's a little bit early to say, but it's definitely out there.
Paul Hannon in London, thank you.
Thanks very much, Mark.
And finally, a push for government-funded diapers is getting new life as lawmakers nationwide consider funding for the baby supply basics. Fast-growing diaper prices are adding to the financial strain on families brought on by COVID-19 and rising inflation. Free diaper programs across the country distributed 74% more diapers last year than in 2019, and the elevated demand continues. Here's the Journal's Sharon Turlip.
I talked to one mom. She's a certified nursing assistant at a hospital in Texas, and she said she would have to stretch diapers. So she'd keep her kids in them longer. She'd buy discount diapers, but then the kids would get infections because they weren't being changed frequently enough, which led to increased costs for diaper creams and treatment. So she started using a diaper bank even before the pandemic. And she said it was just enough to kind of get over the hump to where her kids could be in clean, fresh diapers all the time. And she could also make rent, pay utilities, and cover other costs.
Opponents of such measures say diaper banks don't ensure donations go only to those in need, and that such programs are an inefficient use of public dollars. And that's what's news for Monday morning. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Glad you could start the week with us. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.